Today is Tuesday, the 1st of April, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. The New York Times admits direct US involvement in Ukraine war. Andre Damon, March 31st, 2025. On Sunday, the New York Times published an extensive article on US involvement in the Ukraine war entitled, quote, "The Partnership, The Secret History of the War in Ukraine," which admits that, quote, "America was woven into the war far more intimately and broadly than previously understood," end of quote. Quote, "The United States was woven into the killing of Russian soldiers on sovereign Russian soil," the Times report asserts. The article is an admission that the United States waged and is waging an undeclared, unauthorized, and illegal war against Russia. It makes clear that American officers, some deployed inside Ukraine, have been selecting targets for attack and authorizing individual strikes, making them, for all intents and purposes, combatants. The article documents how, over the course of the war, the Biden administration systematically violated its own restriction on the conduct of the war, up to the point of authorizing the attacks on Russian territory, using American weapons ordered by American commanders. The Times report explains that American officers decided what Russian troops and civilian targets would be attacked, transmitted their coordinates to the Ukrainian military, then authorized the attacks using weapons provided by the NATO powers themselves. It reports that American and British soldiers were deployed to Ukraine to personally direct combat operations. The article presents a picture of the Ukraine war in which the American military planned everything from large-scale strategic troop movements to every individual long-range strike. As the article explains, quote, "American and Ukrainian officers plan Kiev's counteroffensives. A vast American intelligence collection effort both guided big-picture battle strategy and funneled precise targeting information down to Ukrainian soldiers in the field," end of quote. The U.S. Command Center in Wiesbaden, Germany, quote, "would oversee each HIMARS long-range missile strike against Russian troops. U.S. officers, quote, would review the Ukrainians' target list and advise them on positioning their launches and timing their strikes," end of quote. So tight was the U.S. oversight that, quote, "the Ukrainians were supposed to only use coordinates the Americans provided. To fire a warhead, HIMARS missile operators needed a special electronic key card, which the Americans could deactivate any time," end of quote. As the Times account explains, quote, "each morning US and Ukrainian military officers set targeting priorities, Russian units, pieces of equipment or infrastructure. American and coalition intelligence officers search satellite imagery, radio emissions and intercepted communications to find Russian positions. Task Force Dragon then gave the Ukrainians the coordinates so they could shoot at them," end of quote. As a result of this arrangement, the United States military was, in the words of one European intelligence official quoted in the article, part of the kill chain, i.e. making decisions about which Russian troops and infrastructure would be attacked. Among the targets provided by the US to Ukrainian troops was the Moskva, the flagship of the Black Sea Fleet, which was attacked and sunk on April 14, 2022. The US also provided coordinates for a long-range missile attack on the Kerch Bridge from the Russian mainland to Crimea. For the first time, the Times reports that the Ukrainian attack on the 2024 Toropets arsenal west of Moscow was directed by the Central Intelligence Agency. As the article explains, quote, "CIA officers shared intelligence about the depot's munitions and vulnerabilities, as well as Russian defense systems on the way to Toropets. They calculated how many drones the operation would require and charted their circuitous flight paths." The article points to the lengths to which American officers went to obfuscate their direction of the war. As the Times explains, quote, "the locations of Russian forces would be points of interest," as one official cited in the article explained. Quote, if you ever get asked the question, did you pass a target to the Ukrainians, you can legitimately not be lying when you say, no, I did not. End of quote. The Times wrote that HIMARS strikes that resulted in 100 or more Russian dead or wounded came almost weekly. End of quote. Just as importantly, the Times article also admits that an undisclosed number of active duty US troops were deployed to Ukraine. Quote, time and again, the Biden administration authorized clandestine operations it had previously prohibited. American military advisers were dispatched to Kiev and later allowed to travel closer to the fighting, end of quote. And the British military, quote, had placed small teams of officers in the country after the invasion, end of quote. In addition, the article provides extensive details on the conflicts between various US and Ukrainian officials and within the US military itself over the direction of the war. If a single unified theme emerges from these various conflicts and disagreements, it is the consistent pressure by the United States for Ukraine to mobilize a broader share of its population, and in particular more and more young people, to fight and die in the US-led war. The article recounts the demand by General Christopher Cavoli, then NATO's Supreme Allied Commander for Europe, to, quote, get your 18-year-olds in the game. It noted the demand by Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to Ukrainian President Zelensky to take the, quote, bigger, bolder step and begin drafting 18-year-olds. As one American official complained, quote, it's not an existential war if they won't make their people fight. Indeed, it is not an existential war. It is not a war of self-defense. It is a US-NATO war directed and led by NATO officers, with Ukrainians doing the dying. This report contradicts nearly everything that the Biden administration and the New York Times itself had told the public about the Ukraine war since it began over 3 years ago. The official position of the White House throughout the Biden administration was that, quote, NATO is not involved in the war in Ukraine. As White House spokesperson Jen Spatzky stated in 2022, quote, it is not a proxy war, Spatzky said. This is a war between Russia and Ukraine. Those who claimed the contrary were, in the words of the White House, quote, repeating Kremlin talking points, end of quote. The New York Times systematically supported the Biden administration's false claims about the degree of US involvement in the war, condemning true assertions that the United States was waging war against Russia as, quote, Russian propaganda. As the Times wrote in March the 20th, 2022, quote, using a barrage of increasingly outlandish falsehoods, President Vladimir V. Putin has created an alternative reality, one in which Russia is at war, not with Ukraine, but with a larger, more pernicious enemy in the West. But the Times does not attempt to reconcile its own admissions now that, quote, America was woven into the war far more intimately and broadly than previously understood, and its earlier statements that claims of American involvement in the war constitutes, quote, an alternative reality, end of quote. To be blunt, the New York Times deliberately lied to the American public for years. Why did the Biden administration engage in war against Russia without telling the American people? And why did the Times, which obviously knew all of this in real time, never tell the public? In War, the book by journalist Bob Woodward on the Biden administration, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan explained the Biden administration's thinking on the Ukraine war. Quote, Biden felt his ability to really support Ukraine fully, have their back with weapons and consequential levels of support, rested on his ability to reassure the American people that they were not going to get their country dragged into that war. The president has essentially created the necessary permission structure for sustained American support to Ukraine. In other words, the ability of the United States to fight a war with Russia was premised on the American public not knowing that the United States was fighting a war against Russia. And the Times saw it as its duty to enable this war by covering up the real extent of US involvement. Had the Times acknowledged the extent to which Washington was directing the war, it would have burst a propaganda bubble about Ukraine waging a defensive, quote, fight for democracy against Putin's, quote, unprovoked war of aggression. The fact of the matter is that the war was and remains a US-led imperialist war aimed at subjugating Russia to the status of a semi-colony and seizing control of key natural resources and geostrategically significant territory in a new redivision of the world. The Times is not a newspaper in a strict sense of the term, as a sort of fourth estate independently reporting in the public interest. It is the quasi-official publication of sections of the state. As such, what it reveals and what it lies about is dictated by the interests of those factions. The lies of the Times must be contrasted to the coverage of the World Socialist website. Each and every one of the major points belatedly admitted by the Times was reported in real time by the WSWS. Since the 2022 invasion, the WSWS consistently referred to the war in Ukraine as the US-NATO war against Russia in Ukraine, a characterization that is completely consistent with the latest account published by the New York Times. The lasting legacy of the Ukraine war, beyond the countless number of Ukrainian and Russian lives lost, which collectively number in the hundreds of thousands, is the breaking of an effective prohibition in place since the end of World War II on a direct war against a nuclear-armed state by the United States. Whatever the future course of the Ukrainian war, which is far from certain, despite the efforts of the Trump administration to refocus US resources on war with China, a precedent has been set. In the event that the Trump administration provokes a crisis over the Taiwan Strait or anywhere else in the world, this precedent will be invoked as the basis for ever further military escalation. Israeli military kills and bulldozes 15 Palestinian aid workers in drive to finish ethnic cleansing of Gaza. Kevin Reed, March 31, 2025. The barbarity of the US-backed Israeli genocide in Gaza reached a new level with the recovery of the bodies of 15 emergency and aid workers from the Palestinian Red Crescent Society, the PRCS, the Palestinian Civil Defense and the United Nations, from a grave in the sand south of the Gaza Strip over the weekend. On Monday, Palestinians held funerals for the medics and emergency responders, who were hunted down and killed by Israeli troops and buried in a mass grave in a blatant violation of international law. The dead included 8 PRCS workers, 6 members of Gaza's Civil Defense Emergency Unit, and a staffer from the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinians, the UNRWA. According to a report by the Associated Press, the dead bodies and ambulances of the aid workers were gathered, buried, and then ploughed over by Israeli military bulldozers. The AP report also said video footage released by the UN showed, quote, workers from PRCS and civil defense wearing masks and bright orange vests, digging through hills of dirt that appeared to have been piled up by Israeli bulldozers, end of quote. The AP report went on. The footage shows them digging out multiple bodies wearing orange emergency vests. Some of the bodies are found piled on top of each other. At one point, they pull out a body in a civil defense vest out of the dirt, and it is revealed to be a torso with no legs. Several ambulances and a UN vehicle, all heavily damaged or torn apart, are also buried in the dirt. Jonathan Whittall of the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, said in a video, their bodies were gathered and buried in this mass grave. We're digging them out in their uniforms with their gloves on. They were here to save lives. It's absolute horror that what has happened here. Another OCHA spokesperson responded to questions from Reuters about how the burial site resembled a large mound of sand, which was, quote, clearly created by a bulldozer or similar machinery rather than the impact of a blast, end of quote. The spokesperson said, the available information indicates that the first team was killed by Israeli forces on March the 23rd and that other emergency and aid crews were struck one after another over several hours as they searched for their missing colleagues. The Palestinian rescue teams had been missing since March the 23rd when they departed around noon to retrieve casualties after Israeli forces launched an offensive into the Tel al-Sultan district of the southern city of Rafah. The Zionist military had demanded an evacuation of the area earlier that day, saying Hamas militants were operating there, while knowing full well that there was not enough time for civilians to leave and avoid the Israeli onslaught. Alerts at the time said displaced Palestinians sheltering in the area had been hit, and a team that went to rescue them was, quote, surrounded by Israeli troops. According to a UN statement on Sunday night, quote, the available information indicates that the first team was killed by Israeli forces on March the 23rd. Additional emergency teams that went to rescue the first team were, quote, struck one after another over several hours, the UN said. The murderous campaign against aid workers took place as the Israeli forces attacked the Tel al-Sultan neighborhood in Rafah, the southernmost city of Gaza. The sky over the area glowed red from Israeli shelling as tanks advanced from all directions and warplanes rained down missiles without mercy. According to official Palestinian estimates, over 5,000 Palestinians were trapped beneath the air and ground assault. Palestinian residents of Tel al-Sultan thought the worst was over after a ceasefire brought a glimmer of hope. Families returned to their homes and tried to salvage fragments of their lives from under the rubble. But on Sunday, the thin peace proved to be a ruse when Israeli tanks stormed the neighborhood without warning. Drones circled above, issuing orders over loudspeakers for evacuation. Anyone who did not move to leave immediately was met with gunfire. Tom Fletcher, UN Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, posted on X. 15 emergency and aid workers in Gaza from at Palestinian RSC, Palestinian Civil Defence and UN, were found buried by their wrecked and well-marked vehicles. Our condolences to their families. They were killed by Israeli forces while trying to save lives. We demand answers and justice. In a statement late on Sunday, the International Committee of the Red Cross, the ICRC, said it was, quote, appalled by the deaths. The ICRC said, their bodies were identified today and have been recovered for dignified burial. These staff and volunteers were risking their own lives to provide support to others. The International Red Cross and Red Crescent said it was the deadliest attack on its aid workers in 8 years, which goes back long before the plan to remove all Palestinians from Gaza began on October the 7th, 2023. Central to the Israeli strategy of killing or removing by force all Palestinians from the Gaza Strip, which has been endorsed by the fascist in the White House, Donald Trump, is the murdering of hospital and aid workers. According to the UN, the Zionist regime of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has killed more than 100 civil defence workers and more than 1,000 health workers since the Gaza genocide began 18 months ago. As the WSWS has reported previously, the Israeli military is implementing a plan to fully occupy Gaza, impose starvation, and then force the displacement of the Palestinian population to other lands. This program is nothing new in a historical sense. It is a reprise of the systematic extermination of Europe's Jews by Germany during World War II. At that time, the Nazis removed Jews from their neighborhoods and concentrated them into ghettos in preparation for their transport to death and extermination camps in Eastern Europe. The Nazi restriction of food rations in the Warsaw Ghetto in occupied Poland, for example, resulted in the mass deaths of Jews. As the crisis of Hitler's mad attempt to invade all of Europe deepened, the Nazis made the decision to move from relocation to slow death in the form of the extermination camps such as Dachau and Auschwitz-Birkenau. Mamadou Tal flees United States. Quote, I have lost faith I could walk the streets without being abducted. End of quote. Jacob Cross, March 31st, 2025. In a powerful statement released Monday evening, Mamadou Tal, a British Gambian PhD student in African Studies at Cornell University, announced on social media that he was leaving the United States to escape political persecution by the Trump administration. Tal thanked all individuals and organizations that have supported his case, particularly his legal team. He wrote, quote, "Everything I have tried to do has been in service of affirming the humanity of the Palestinian people, a struggle that will leave a lasting mark on me. Today I took the decision to leave the United States free and with my head held high." Tal, like hundreds of other international students, has been targeted by the government because of his outspoken opposition to the US-backed Israeli genocide. The Trump administration is also seeking to retaliate against him for filing a lawsuit last month alongside Cornell professor Mukoma Wa Nuguji and fellow graduate student Siram Parasurama, challenging two executive orders issued by Trump that suppress free speech and in particular criticism of Israel. After Tal filed the lawsuit, the Trump administration vindictively revoked his student visa and began sending deportation thugs to harass and intimidate him. Tal's lawyers sought a temporary restraining order to keep the Trump administration from disappearing him to a detention camp in the US, El Salvador, or Guantanamo Bay, but the initial request was denied last week by US District Judge Elizabeth C. Coombe. That same day, his attorneys, led by Eric Lee and the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, filed an amended complaint and a new emergency motion, as Tal explained in his statement. "Trump did not want me to have my day in court and sent ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents to my home and revoked my visa. We held out, but our first motion was denied. We were due to submit a second briefing with the hope that I could stay out of detention whilst the lawsuit progressed. Given what we have seen across the United States, I have lost faith that a favourable ruling from the courts would guarantee my personal safety and ability to express my beliefs. I have lost faith I could walk the streets without being abducted. Weighing up these options, I took the decision to leave on my own terms." He continued, "This is of course not the outcome I had wanted going into this, but we are facing a government that has no respect for the judiciary or for the rule of law." Tal placed his persecution within the context of the broader campaign, which is backed by the entire political establishment, aimed at suppressing opposition to the ongoing genocide. Quote, "For every person that has remained silent, just know that you are not safe either. Is the imprisonment of those who speak out against a genocide a reflection of your values? Is this the kind of nation you want to live in? We are already seeing the Trump administration exploiting the complicity of those who have remained silent on the Zionist genocide of Palestinians. The repression of Palestinian solidarity is now being used to wage a wholesale attack on any form of expression that challenges oppressive and exploitative relations in the US. In scathing terms, he denounced the political and media establishment for turning reality upside down. It is surreal that we live in a world where you get into trouble for saying killing babies is wrong. Where those advocating for and celebrating endless massacres against Palestinians are able to, time and again, present themselves as victims while presenting those fighting against genocide as oppressors." He added, "If you have been led to think that your safety is only guaranteed by state kidnap, repression, deportation, the slaughter of children and the suppression of the global majority, then let Gaza shards of glass be your mirror." Tal warned, "History will remember that we are never going back." He noted that while his future remains uncertain, and this now means drastic changes in my personal life, I remain unwavering in my commitment to a liberated Palestine from the river to the sea. End of quote. Tal's case is part of a sweeping campaign of political repression being carried out by the Trump administration under the so-called Catch and Revoke program. Hundreds of international students have had their visas revoked for participating in or even expressing support for protests against the US-backed genocide in Gaza. These actions are backed by AI-driven surveillance targeting political speech on social media. Dozens of students have already been seized and sent to ICE detention centres, including Mahmoud Khalil, a Columbia graduate student and lawful permanent resident, Rumesia Oztürk, a Tufts PhD candidate and Fulbright scholar abducted on the streets of Boston by masked agents, and Yoon-seo Chung, a South Korean permanent resident who has lived in the US since childhood. On Thursday, the World Socialist website hosted an emergency online meeting featuring Tal, his attorney Eric Lee, WSWS editorial board chairman David North, and Socialist Equality Party national secretary Joseph Kissure. The speakers warned that the persecution of pro-Palestinian students is part of a broader drive to establish a presidential dictatorship, denounced the complicity of the Democratic Party, and called for the development of a working-class movement to oppose the capitalist oligarchy that is waging a war on democratic rights. For these articles and more, go to the World Socialist website, wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been Carol Diviak.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.